Hello, brothers and sisters. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. I did. I'm out of town. I'm visiting my mama up here in Natchitoches. We ate good and good fellowship and enjoying to be able to have that time off to be with the ones you love and to just have that fellowship and just that love and just being thankful for to have the opportunity, you know, to do that. You know, we're going through this series sermon on the armor of God, and it's just very important that we understand that we have this armor of God as a child of God, and we can put it on. We have to put the armor on. I fear that many of us don't. We're in a spiritual war that's filled with battles throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10 through 18 what we should equip ourselves with. And that's what I've been I was led by the Holy Spirit to do this preaching series on the armor of God. And if you're just catching up and wondering where this sermon series begins, it starts, if you go down, you should see the invisible war. That's the beginning of the sermon. And what I've been doing is I've been reading through the scripture first, every time. Because I believe when we start with the Word of God and we speak the Word of God, regardless how inadequate I am to, but God, the Holy Spirit that lives inside me, is the one that has the authority. I have no authority except through Jesus Christ. And we start with the Word of God, and I like to start with the Word of God, and I like to read through the scripture, because that is the ultimate authority. My opinion doesn't matter. The Word of God is all that matters. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through Ephesians 6:10 through 18, and then I'll say a prayer, and then the specific part of armor that we're talking about today is the helmet of salvation. So if you have your Bibles, turn to me, Ephesians 6. And that's going to be 10 through 18. And I thought about maybe extending it to 20, but we'll see when we get there. So Ephesians 6:10, starting verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers, supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereupon with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. God's bow, we will pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for another opportunity to just talk about your word and the power that it has there, that we have at our disposal as a child of God, that the enemy just doesn't rock us and rattle us, because we are a child of God, and we have the authority that's living inside us to destroy the work of the enemy by your power, by your might, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just be with whoever out here that needs to hear this message, Lord. I pray it reaches their ears, it reaches their heart, it transforms their life, it just changes them. So they'll pick up their cross and they'll say, I got this. I'm going out there. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Because this world, time is up almost. And there's many that will be lost. And that will not go to heaven. And we pray, Lord, that you use us in a mighty way to be able to reach those people and to talk to them. And we pray that their hearts are open to the word of God and to the gospel. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with our nations this time of turmoil, this hate, this unrighteousness, unholiness that's infected the United States. The very core is trampling into our churches, is weakening the gospel because we're letting it. The gospel is strong if we just grab onto it and go with it. Lord, help us be more like you and less like us, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I said this quite a few times, Ephesians 6:10 through 18. It's just some of my favorite scriptures in the Bible because I believe, truly believe, and the Word of God believes, and it confirms that we are in a war. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle every day. If you go to my sermon, Invisible War, I go more detailed in that, how the scripture reveals that spiritual war that we're in, that invisible war that is actually seen through physical manifestations in our lives. And Paul is telling us here that we have resources that we can tap into, and he's just giving us them. And the part of the armor that I wanted to talk about today, and when Paul was talking about this armor, he was trying to create an illustration for the people, his audience at the time, to get it, to see, to make that connection. You know, I always like going to describing the, in his time, what he was talking about for his audience to relate, connect, right? It's all about connecting. And, and he tells us, he said, put on the helmet. And you see, back in that period, the helmet was bronze and leather. And of course, we know it was important. It protected the head. You know, the mind. And before these people go into battle, they had a person that would put the helmet on the soldier, and they would help him fasten it securely where it would not come off during combat, protecting the head. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, our day and time, if you look at, you know, if you like, and it's football season, right? And we're doing pretty good down here on football. And if you watch these sports, especially you look at football, they're wearing a helmet. And if you see that helmet, and most of them can say, well, that helmet, what is that there for? Most of them can say, you got protection from the head, right? Because these guys, you know, they're coming at you, they're hitting you hard. They're rattling you. And if you weren't wearing that helmet, or it came off, and you flipped just right, and you hit your head just right, and you messed your brain, your mind up, and your mind, which your brain is very important. If our brains were not functioning, our whole body is not functioning. When they get hit and they get a concussion, they're in the hospital and they can't function, this can affect your verbal, your physical, everything. Your brain is connected to your spinal cord. Your spinal cord runs down. It's got all these muscles and nerves, and so this helmet is important. If you look at the other sports like baseball and hockey, and I did some fighting, full contact fighting when I was a kid, and we wore helmets on our head for full contact fighting, and that was just to protect, because so you get hit pretty hard and it rattles you. I don't know if you've ever been in a ring and you're fighting. I have before. And you get hit and all you see is white dots. And that ain't good. That means they rattle you. You've been rattled. And if they hit you again, or if you don't guard yourself, they're gonna knock you out. So this helmet is protection for your mind. Your mind, of course, we say mind is your brain. And there, if you look at today's technology, most doctors are still puzzled about our mind or the complexity of our mind. And this is where the enemy wants to attack you. He wants to come toward your mind. He wants to destroy your mind. He wants to fill your mind with lies and deception. He knows if he can start getting you to think certain ways, in negative ways, in unpositive ways, he knows he can affect your behavior in negative and positive. The battle begins in the mind. If you look at the very beginning when Satan tempted Eve, you know, one of that, and there's many facets are going on in these scriptures, and he attacked her mind. He, and of course, attacking her mind was attacked of the Word of God, which we will get into the next, Lord willing, next weekend. But he attacked her mind. He wanted to fill her mind with lies and deception. I know, even today, you know, the devil don't change. He does the same tactics over and over and over. And I am not exempt from it. If I don't watch myself, I'll let them lies seep in, and now next thing you know, I'm in full depression, and I'm like, what's the point, right? And the key is to catch that, to pick up on that, and that's, you know, the helmet is a protection. And you know, the lies that they're not uncommon, and I'm afraid today you see the rise of depression, anxiety, and suicides, and just abuse. And you know, the lies that Satan can give you is you're not good enough, you're ugly, you're worthless, you'll never amount to anything. You know, these are all lies, because when God created us, he took literally time and effort. He the Bible says literally, and I know when the Bible says he created us, you know, he used his hands, right? And but the Bible's trying to give us a kind of impression, illustration, how precious we were, or that we are to him, and that he breathed life into us, and he spoke everything else into creation. But when it came to Adam, he created him with his hands, and he breathed life into him, and then of course he created Eve through the rib. He took time to create us, and he loves us. And when you hear stuff, you're not good enough, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're not worthless. You're something to God, because God took time to craft you, to make you. He knows your name. He wants you to be his. And all these are lies, and the enemy will give you. He wants to fill your mind with all these lies. Don't let the enemy fill you with lies, because God loves you. You know, you look at this piece of the armor, the helmet of salvation, and it used the helmet of salvation. And the reason it's salvation to the mind is that, to me, that's one of the key tactics of the enemy. He wants to challenge your salvation. And you see it throughout the church. People doubt if they're really a child of God. And that's a direct attack from the enemy. Because the Word, if you look at the Scriptures and the Word of God, it tells you exactly what it means to be a child of God. And we can unpack the Scriptures about this. But one of the things that when I know I'm a child of God, how I know this, and there's many evidence, because I use scripture against the devil, and he don't attack me with salvation in that I'm a child of God. One is the Holy Spirit. When we become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes inside us. Jesus comes and lives inside us. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside us, it corrects us. When we do something wrong, it cracks us. You know, I always use this type of example. If, you know, as a kid you do something wrong and your mom or dad, they have to spank you, and that's a correction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It corrects you. And it starts, you know, maybe with a little spanking. But if you're like me and you're stubborn, they got to break out the board. They got to break out the belt. And then, and that conviction and that chastisement increases, and you will feel horrible. You will feel, and you'll know immediately you need to repent. You know, I would, if you're like me, you try to do everything else. You try because you're so stubborn. But if we would just repent when we mess up, when the Holy Spirit just is gently trying to correct us, and we're just saying, and I'm speaking on my part, and we're trying to ignore them, and it intensifies, and we just recognize, okay, you know, I mess up, and being tuned in the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I am a wretched man, this flesh, the battle I'm in, I can't do it on my own, you know, and I need you in my life. I know that Satan's trying to destroy me. I need you in my life. And the thing is, this is for a child of God. And I want to mention another thing. If you're not a child of God, I put several sermons on my website about salvation. You can click on them. And the thing is when you're a child of God, you have these resources, you have these promises for protection. If when you're not, you're open to full demonic possession, and you don't have these protections. And the thing is, if you aren't a child of God, I want to tell you, go to my salvation messages, hit them, and listen to them. I give the plan of salvation, and the key to that is recognizing who God is and what he did. He sent his son to die for our sins, and when he came down here and he had to live among us, and when he was enduring the cross, he had to take our sins upon him. That's the present, past, and future. This is what Adam and Eve did all the way up to, you know, all the way up to until the coming of Christ. He took all these sins on him, and that's why when he was on the cross, he was dying, he was in such misery, because he was that adulteress. He was that murderer. He took our sins. That's why when he screams out, God, why are you forsaking me? He had to take all of that on. That's what really, really hurt him. It was our sins. And today when we sin against God, it hurts him. But he loves us. And when you become a child of God, he takes that on him, and he forgives you, and he casts that so far, he will not remember that. And that's scripture. But you have to believe it. You have to accept it. You have to confess it. And when you do that, you recognize that you're sinful in nature, and you're I'm going to live for Jesus. I don't want to do this. Yes, we will mess up. We will make mistakes. And when we do, that's the Holy Spirit correcting us, because we live in a corrupt vessel. So we will make mistakes. And we will have trials. To say I do to Christ is not a playground. It's a battlefield. I worry about the church. It grieves my heart that these people are coming to Christ. They're not given the true message of salvation. That is straight from the Bible. You know, Jesus tells us, count the cost. That's his words. That's not mine. He said, deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow me. And he said, if you can't do that, then you can't be mine. And he also tells us that you have to hate your mom. You have to hate your dad. You have to hate your children. And he's not meaning that in a way that a hate that we have in our hearts. He's saying he is number one in your life. Nothing else matters. Yes, you got to take care of your family. You got to take care of your wife. But if you put Christ, you truly put Christ first in your life, you know what? He takes care of all of that. He takes care of your family. Because he tells us he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That's scripture. He will never And when the enemy comes at you, he's filling your mind, especially when you're trying to go into a ministry and to preach. And he's like, well, you do this, you know, you're gonna have to leave your wife and this and this and this and that. No, no, that's enemy's lie. Because when you give yourself truly to Christ and you give yourself over to what he needs you to do, he's going to take care of the rest of that. Now, if you do it in your own will, you go into a ministry. That's why we have to lean on the Holy Spirit. Some people go into ministries, and it's because they want to do it, because they're not following the Holy Spirit. When they're not following the Holy Spirit and they're doing it because it's going to benefit them in some way, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. When we're up there doing God's work and we're speaking with somebody on the street, it's not us, it's Jesus. I can't do nothing save Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? And when you become a child of God, you the Holy Spirit comes in you, everything that was old is no more. If you're clinging to the old stuff, you have not became a child of God, because you're holding. He said you can't serve two masters. You will hate one, love the other. That's scripture, right? And he said also that we have to count the cost. We have to count the cost. We can't serve this world and Jesus at the same time. It conflicts itself. And when you become a true follower of Christ, you are new. You're no longer old. And the helmet of salvation, we put it on. And when all these lies from Satan, we got to understand that Satan is a worthy adversary. We can't do it on our own. He will come at us. He will try to destroy us. You know, some of the, if you come and look at Peter, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Here, let me flip to it. We have to know our enemy, right? We have to know who we're against. When we're studying the tactics, like any kind of, you know, if you look at football and particularly football, you run plays in boxing and fighting. I know people, like if you're going against somebody and they've been in the ring quite a few times, they watch the fight over and over and over and over and see where they can. There's opportunities to attack, and we have to know our enemy. And the thing is, Satan knows us. Well, he is a master at human psychology. He knows how to play on human emotions. One thing he doesn't understand, he don't understand a mind that is set on Christ and willing to do whatever. He don't get that. He don't understand that. And when we put on the helmet, the salvation, we take that in and we realize, hey, I'm a child of God, and because of this I have this protection. And when the Satan comes at me, and we look at 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, it tells us, be sober, be vigilant. That is a protection. I mean, we should be alert. We should always, when we wake in the morning, we should prepare ourselves. We make sure we have that helmet of salvation on. And he said, because your adversary, the devil, and he said he is a roaring lion. He doesn't say he's a tame and a little kitty cat in the corner. He said he roars, lion. If you watch stuff like the Animal Planet, I love watching Animal Planet. You watch these lions and tigers, and when they're out there hunting, and they're hungry, and I can guarantee you the devil is hungry, because he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And he says here, he walks about. He walks about. That means he walks about day and night. He don't sleep. The devil's never sleeping. He knows his time is drawing near, so he wants to take as many people to hell as he can, and he wants the ones that are God's to cause them so much anguish and keep them so feeling like they can't do nothing, because he ain't gonna take your salvation once you truly accept Christ, but he can destroy your witness, he can destroy your ministry, and that's what he goes for. And tells us in verse 9. And well, here he said 8, the last part, whom he may devour. That means he wants to devour, means he wants to rip you apart, he wants to shred you to pieces. You go to verse 9, tells us, whom resist stands fast in faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother or in the world, meaning that this is not new to you, it's happening throughout a Christian's life. But But the God of all grace, whom called upon us to turn to glory of Jesus Christ, if ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and seal you. Meaning, anything we're going through as a child of God, and you know, there's things, I know people going through stuff that's just, it rattles me, and I keep them in my prayers. You know, in the end, it will strengthen them when they come out of that trial. And when we go through these trials and our minds are being attacked by the enemy, he wants to destroy us. And John puts it another way. He's a thief. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy, meaning he wants to come into your home. And I'm not meaning possession. He just wants to, he wants to remove things in your life that brings you joy. And that's joy. That's joy. That's Jesus over you. Basically, Jesus over you, right? He wants to destroy all of that. You know, a lot of times I'm happy, I'm singing. It's not because my body don't hurt. It don't mean I'm not suffering it. It means that I have Jesus in my life. And in my mind, that's when this life is over with, when he calls my card and I go to heaven, the things waiting for me and others of his children, just not me, others that have truly accepted Jesus into their heart, they're going to a place that's beyond imagination. And it's forever and ever and ever and ever. It's forever, right? But we have to recognize at this point in time that we are in a battle every day, and that the enemy wants to destroy our mind. And we have to, first thing we have to realize, we have to know we are a child of God. That's the first thing he'll come at, and we have to get that firmly in our mind, and we do that through Scripture. We establish that through Scripture. And one of the examples I give is that the Holy Spirit that resides in us, when you mess up, it corrects you. Now, you're messing up, and you ain't having no correction, and you feel okay with that, I'm telling you, you're not a child of God. And that is not my opinion, that's the Word of God. And if you're having that, I encourage you to go to my messages on salvation and just listen to them over and over. And I have a, you know, on my website, I have a message thing. Message me and we'll talk about it. I'll give you detailed scriptures on how you know that you're a child of God through the Scripture, not my opinion. Because that's one thing we have to know, and that's one thing that we should not let the devil create doubt in our mind. The devil don't create no doubt in my mind about he. Now he attacks me on other levels, especially being a minister and preaching and moving. He attacks me on other things, but him attacking me about being a child of God, he don't even bother with me, because I know I'm a child of God, and I know I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, and I know to when I mess up, I immediately fall to my knees or where I'm at, and I say, God, forgive me, I failed you. Because it grieves my spirit. I don't live in that sin. I don't say, oh, I'm okay, I'm going to keep on doing my sin over and over. It grieves my spirit. And I have to stop that immediately. Time to say, God, forgive me. You know I'm weak. And we all have those moments where we're going over there and doing something we're not supposed to be doing. You know, the key thing I want you guys to get out of this message, this sermon, that we have a helmet. It's not, you know, physical, it's invisible. And that's, I like to think, you know, the helmet is, of course, Jesus. And knowing that we are his child, and that he gives us salvation, you know, is by grace through faith, right? That we come to Jesus, right? And we have to know that we are a child of God. And the thing I want to leave with you guys, if you don't know this, and if the enemy is coming at you and attacking you about this, Don't let them. Go to your Bible. Unpack the scriptures on salvation. A good place to start is the Gospel of John. He really unpacks salvation. And then, of course, 1 John, 2 John. Those are good scriptures. And I'm also a resource you guys can use. You can message me. And if I'm not at work, I'll get with you when I get home. We'll just go through the scriptures. And I want you to understand that don't let the enemy, if you truly are a child of God, don't let the enemy destroy that. Don't let him rip you apart on that part. And the other part of that, in this whole point that God has laid on my heart to do these sermons, that we need to recognize that we are in a spiritual war that is made of spiritual battles that we will have to face every day of our life until the end. And when you say I do to Christ, you get out of that playground and you enter a war zone. It literally is a war zone. To be a Christian is not an easy thing. Today, many will tell you, oh, Christianity is easy and this and this and this. I'm going to tell you, yes, it can be easy in the sense that you know when this world's over with, you're going to heaven. But when you're in this war, in this battles, it's literally, you're fighting for your life and you have to lean on Jesus. And I want to tell you, leaning on Jesus in all of this, in every piece of your armor of God, it's all about Jesus and leaning on Jesus and leaning on His Word and recognizing the lies when the deception comes into your head. Because God will never tell you you're not good enough. God will never tell you that you're ugly. He will not come at you negatively. That's satanic oppression. The devil's entering in those lies into your... God will tell you He loves you, that you are something. You know why? Because Jesus died for our sins. And Jesus didn't die for nothing. And you can see when Satan's telling you're nothing, he's telling you Jesus is nothing. And that's what he wants to say. He wants to say Jesus is nothing. And I want to keep you in that corner. I want to keep you, if you're not a child of God, I want to keep you lost. If you are, I want to keep you ineffective. So we need to recognize when the devil enters these thoughts into our head, we allow him to enter these thoughts in our head, we have to counter. We got to say no. This is not correct. I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am a soldier for God. I rebuke you, Satan. And just place it in prayer. And pray that Jesus just comes in and surrounds you and protects you from these attacks, right? Because the enemy, Satan, his demons, they want to destroy you. They want to destroy me. You know, I come under string tax sometimes to a point where I just have to, I'm on my knees crying, and I got to, and when I'm doing it, it comes from a moment I might have talked to somebody about Jesus, I might preach a sermon that I don't think I did a good job, but afterwards I'm just under this attack, right? So, all I want to do to tell you guys today, just thank you. For listening and that just I hope you guys are having a great Thanksgiving and the rest of the week, and that if you're part of my Facebook friends, you're always in my prayers, and there I have my number on my website, I have my email on my website, I have many ways you can contact me, and if you have any questions, please contact me, and we'll go through the scripture, probably just emailing is the best way. Just go back and forth throughout the week through emails and talking and unpacking scriptures about salvation. And if you want to get more clarity on the armor of salvation, I haven't really got a chance really. I wanted to compose pieces of this sermon together, maybe into a Bible study one day, but that's a work in progress. But I want to tell you guys I love y'all. And I hope y'all have a great weekend. I hope you survive Black Friday. We went out and did a little shopping. It was pretty calm. I didn't get up early. We had out about midday, and I had some pretty good deals, and that was fun. But I want to just tell you guys I love y'all, and bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, just thanking you for everything you've done for us, and that thank you for this message that you laid on my heart to preach. I pray, Lord, that it just enters whoever's heart that needs to hear it, Lord, that it just touches them. If they're going through things in their life, God, I pray that you be with them. If the enemy is trying to destroy them and give them lies, fill them with lies, I pray, Lord, that you give them the strength, Lord. Let them lean on you, Lord. If they're not yours, I pray, Lord, that they just go through the scriptures and realize this is how I become a child of God, and that it's worth it through all this lifetime of suffering is not compared. It's not compared to the afterlife, to heaven. Because when we go to heaven, there will be no more worries, there will be no more sorrows, there will be no more pain. Heavenly Father, I pray that, you know, as Sunday rolls around, that the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, that they just give them the words to speak to their congregation. Lord, I pray that the word goes forth and that it enters their hearts and that it just touches them and that it motivates them to go out into this world to spread the gospel, because our times are nearing to an end and you are coming back soon. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.